A lot of younger women today say they would love to have older women who are giving them counsel, who are pouring into their lives. But Barbara Newman says they're not looking for someone to be the Bible answer woman.
What they tell me is that what I want is someone who will listen to my life, listen to what I'm saying, help me process it, and make biblical decisions, because many of them don't know the Bible. They don't know how to think biblically. So just that opportunity to process life with a more experienced person many times transforms the way they think.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. What does it look like to effectively mentor a younger man or a younger woman? We'll spend time exploring that subject today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Tuesday edition.
Bob, I'm still trying to get over a pronouncement that was made by one of our guests on the broadcast earlier.
What pronouncement?
Well, the guest, who is a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, said she wanted to deep six the word mentor.
Yes.
So I went and did a little research.
Okay.
And I feel a little bit better about deep sixing the word mentor. And the reason is, I use my Logos word study, which is powerful.
The Bible study software.
It's powerful. And the word mentor does not appear in the Bible.
So you're okay getting rid of it?
I feel a little better that a Dallas Seminary prof wanted to deep six the word mentor.
How about mentee?
I didn't look that one up.
Okay, well, I got the work done on this. Keith the engineer went to work, and he has the pronouncement. So, Keith the engineer is mentee. Is it an official word? Can we use that word?
It's an official slang word.
Okay.
Official slang. It's in Urban Dictionary,
but
right?
not in any gold standard etymology.
Okay. All right. We can get rid of mentor and mentee, but we'll have to come up with a biblical word, right?
We do. And so that's the next question after I introduce our guests, Dr. Barbara Newman and Dr. Sue Edwards. Join us again on the broadcast. Ladies, welcome back.
Thank you.
They both teach at Dallas Theological Seminary, and they have co-authored a book called Organic Mentoring. And I really am tempted to tell a story about organic, but I'm not going to do it.
I'm glad. I'm just thinking, if she's going to deep six the word mentor, she's got a problem with her book, doesn't she?
She does. Mentoring.
Well.
She's planting it.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. Yes.
So, okay, Sue, what word are you going to use if you're going to eliminate this from our vocabulary and you can't use it in this broadcast?
Well, I'm using it in the broadcast, and I'm using it in training, and we're using it in the book. We're just not using it when we attempt to invite someone to be your mentor. Actually, though, it's funny. We just ask them to coffee. We just ask them to come and spend time with the younger woman does that for the older woman.
It's an invitation to relationship, isn't it?
Exactly. But it's not just a friendship. It's someone who's more experienced, moving, helping, guiding, asking the right questions, praying with, listening to, and then giving biblical perspective as it's needed to move them closer to Christ, to grow them up in the faith.
And here's what I want to really underline here. The concept of mentoring is taught from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes.
It is the DNA of the book.
Well, and I think of two particular passages that always come to mind for me. I think the classic is Titus chapter 2, and there older men are instructed to teach younger men certain things, older women to teach younger women certain things. And then I also think of, isn't it 2 Timothy 2:2 that says, that which you've heard from me, to pass on to other men who will pass it on to others. It's this cycle of you learn, you pass on.
Right.
I've got two more.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 6.
That's our flagship verse.
Parents and children.
Yeah, you got to pass on and your experience of God and your knowledge of God to the next generation. And the other is the Great Commission.
Absolutely.
Jesus called us to make disciples. And I think at the heart of discipleship is that dreaded word, mentor.
Yes.
I mean, it is It is one person passing on to another, sharpening their life to become like Jesus Christ.
But Barbara, here's how I've said it to folks at our church. I've said everybody in our church should be able to answer the question, who's pouring into you? And then you should be able to answer the question, who are you pouring into? And I said, if somebody's not pouring into you and you're not pouring into somebody, there's a swamp occurring somewhere, and that'll just stink up the place.
That's so a great picture.
You need somebody pouring into you, yes, and you need to be pouring into somebody. Yes. That's what this is all about, isn't it?
It is. And going back to the Deuteronomy 6 passage, you know, Moses was speaking to the entire nation of Israel. We normally see that in the context of parents teaching their children, but if you look at it carefully, he was speaking to the entire community, believing community, the people
Israel.
Of God. Yes, and so this charge, I believe, was given to all people of God to be a part of this movement to grow the next generation of people.
I think it's important for us to read this and just let you ladies comment on it. Deuteronomy 6, 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates."
Yes.
It's a way of life.
Yes, it's a way. It's natural, it's organic, it's something that happens in the teachable moments when you're doing life together.
Right. We have called this organic mentoring because it's essentially an attentiveness to opportunities that arise in normal everyday life. And if you're attentive to that, if you're attentive to opportunities, they pop up everywhere. So we retrain, bringing women out of the idea that this is a structured program where you have to be qualified or something you must sign up for and make a commitment to. We want to set all of that aside and say, just be attentive to the natural opportunities that are going to pop up every day of your life as a believer.
So we're talking today to Sue Edwards and Barbara Newman, authors of the book Organic Mentoring. And we had three older women at our church come to the leadership recently, and they said, we would like to get something started with mentoring younger women in our church. Okay, they have the desire. I think it's a Holy Spirit-given unction in their lives. They're a stage in life where they want to be pouring in. They said, we'd like to do this. We'd like to set up a meeting, invite the younger women to come, and talk about how we could initiate mentoring relationships.
But at first, they got to call Sue and see if they can get permission to use the word mentoring.
No.
Well, I would like to, and I'm going to just pass on to them whatever you tell me. So if you're sitting down with these three ladies and they're saying, we have this desire, how would you direct us to get started and to start doing something?
Well, and it's wonderful that they have the desire. You know, I worked in churches as a women's leader for a number of years where we set up a program, and that for older women is the first thing they think of. I've got to set up a program, and how will we do this? And kind of our modern way of thinking, well, we'll match them up artificially, we'll tell them how long to meet, we'll give them curriculum, and the intent is good, but it is exactly what I saw not working even 15 years ago. Occasionally it works. There's probably listeners out there who go, well, wait a minute, this worked for me. It can work. Sometimes it works. But take your energy that you were using in this program and instead create a mentoring culture in your faith community. That is needed because in especially a lot of our communities today, a lot of our churches, we never come across women who are of a different generation. Show them, challenge them, teach them. But don't try to artificially match them and counsel them. Then you can give help for there are lots of other things that, Barbara, what else?
Well, I think the place we need to start is to build bridges between the two generations because we're at a situation today where we have remarkable differences in preferences in the two generations. We have an older generation that doesn't understand the younger ones don't understand the older ones. And so the place to start is simply training, particularly our older women who want to step into this kind of a role, in what that younger woman is like, that she's that she's growing and developing. And so I think it starts there.
Yeah.
And generational differences.
And it's more than a generation gap. I had a generation gap between my builder parents and me. This is, I believe, an era shift where we are moving out of a modern print era. 500 years we've been thinking systematically. Mm-hmm. We've been living a particular way. And we are moving into a digital era, which is affecting everything. It's affecting the way people learn, the way they communicate, the way they do family. So it's a very different woman, many of them, even those who've grown up in Christian homes. George Barna in 2013 did a very interesting study in which he looked at how we're losing our young people, said 6 in 10 of our young people who come up through our youth ministries are walking away from the church in the first decade of adult life, unless they experience or have a personal mentor.
Yeah.
And then the numbers are way down. So we believe this could be the answer to retaining and building into and bringing back those young people.
I couldn't agree more. About a decade ago, Family Life started. We actually created an e-mentoring guide. And I asked Gary Bluner, who heads up this area for Family Life, I said, what's the number one thing someone who wants to be a mentor needs to understand? He said, oh, that's real easy. He said, you must enter their world.
Yes.
That's what you've just been talking about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You have to enter their world. And that's uncomfortable.
Yes.
For us of an older generation, because their world looks at morality, sex, gender, with a whole lot different experience than we had. And he was quick to make this observation. He said, you've got to enter their world, hear their story, know where they're coming from, and then not be shocked and not be judgmental.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And it gets raw.
That's what he said.
Yes.
I asked him, I said, so what are the issues you're dealing with? And he said, tons of pornography.
Yep.
Tons of sexual abuse.
Yes. Yes. Particularly for women.
Mm-hmm. 1 in 3, many believe, have been sexually abused, date rape, maybe sexual abuse as a child. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be able to enter these conversations with wisdom and being led by the Spirit of God, and develop that relationship that can be a safe place for somebody to develop an authentic relationship with an older person.
That's absolutely what it is. And they don't want the Bible answer woman. They don't want you to start spouting Bible verses. Women who say, I can't mentor because I don't know enough Bible verses. It's being the Bible answer woman that throws them off. Now, yes, you should give biblical content once you have their trust, but it's not about spouting Bible verses. It's exactly what you've said. But we have to understand them. Most of us, as a boomer in my mid-20s, I had my family started. I kind of knew where I was going in life. My husband was on his career path. Things were pretty set, and people did things in order. Today, young people spend most of their 20s trying to figure out what life is about. And into their 30s, they marry later. Some have children. Some choose not to. It's a crazy world now, and they're faced with all of that. And they're so needing guidance and help, but it's exactly the way that you have described it is what we're talking about.
It really makes sense why so many of the younger generation are leaving the church, because if you don't have this relationship with someone, what is there to connect you to a body of believers?
That's right.
What they tell me is that what I want is someone who will listen to my life, listen to what I'm saying, help me process it, and make biblical decisions, because, again, many of them don't know the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't know how to think biblically. So just that opportunity to process life with a more experienced person many times transforms the way they think.
Well, and some of us older, more experienced people, want to jump right in and fix.
Yes.
We'll hear your story, and it's like, I know the answer.
Yes.
Here's what you do, A, B, C.
Yes, and that absolutely is the wrong approach.
That's a turnoff.
They head for the exit as fast as possible. They don't want you to try to impose your life on theirs. And that's another thing, is that we heard them say, I'm not a ditto of you. I'm not a makeover project to make me into the person you think I should be. I'm God's creation. I may be looking at a different path. I want you to help me find that, but not impose on me exactly who you are.
One of the stories that came from our e-mentoring was a couple came in. It very quickly became apparent that they're sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
They're not married. And two or three times a week, he goes over to her house and they just spend the night mm-hmm. together. And the parents on both sides are silent. And so here you are as a mentor. What are you going to do? Do you pull out the Bible at that point? How do you address this? Well, ultimately, you will. How soon you do that depends on the depth of the relationship, the trust that's established. Right. But this generation, the way they think.
Yeah.
Casual sex prior to marriage is no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, as an older generation, have to keep our Bible thumping, not paralyzed, but tempered, and be careful how quickly we move to a Bible mm-hmm. solution before we say to them, you know, do you understand what God thinks about premarital mm-hmm. sex? And the reality is, they ultimately do.
I was going to say, they probably do.
But they really don't care.
Yeah.
And so you have to move them to a decision, which is what happened in this circumstance. The guy who was mentoring them said, I'd like to challenge you, after a number of times together, I'd like to challenge you to abstain from sex until the wedding night. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks later, they were with that couple, and the young man said, we're doing it.
Good.
We made the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a place to bring the standard of Scripture mm-hmm. to bear in those mentoring relationships, but what you ladies are pointing out is it occurs from a relationship
yes.
with that person.
Yes.
Dennis
yeah.
has written into his Bible in Ecclesiastes 3, a time to thump and a time to restrain from words.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah.
It's absolutely true. It is so important. And that wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, who guides you as you love this person, as you think long term about how to help them in their particular situation.
You know, as we're talking, I'm thinking about the number of times that Dennis and I both had this experience. People we meet at Weekend Remember Marriage Getaways or events where we're speaking, but they'll come up to us and they will say, you guys have mentored me as a husband,
mm-hmm.
as a dad. And so I'm just sitting here thinking, with all the conversation we've had about mentoring, does that really fit? I mean, what we're doing here on Family Life today,
yeah.
it seems like we would need to have more one-on-one for it to really qualify as mentoring.
No, it doesn't. And that's what you need, the flexibility. I mean, they said, we want to take away all these rules that really are not biblical. They're just things we've made up, and it absolutely does qualify for mentoring. And I'll have the same thing happen. You know, they haven't asked me to be their mentor, and yet a year later they'll introduce me to somebody and say, and this is my mentor. And I immediately go, oh my goodness, have I done all the things I'm supposed to? No, stop. Those are the old tapes. I don't need, absolutely what you're doing in family life, what we do with students, mm-hmm. it's more casual, but it is mentoring.
And they a lot of options. This is what they're used to, a lot of options. So when they see the whole field of mentoring, they do not see one-on-one relationship. They see opportunities like you offer. They do see the one-on-one coffees. They see the group things. For them, it's a much broader
right.
experience.
I think that's important to note, because mentoring can occur one-on-one. to many.
Yes, it can. Yes, it often does. Absolutely.
Having some young ladies over to your home for tea or coffee and just talking about life and doing life together,
yes,
that can be a mentoring relationship that is highly effective.
Absolutely.
I know this. It's highly needed.
It's highly needed.
Because hospitality is one of the missing gifts today in this culture.
Right, and that's part of it. And also, I have women that I mentor around a particular topic. In other words, I teach the Bible. I have women who see me teach the Bible and go, I want her to help me learn to teach the Bible or tell me what it's like to be a woman who teaches the Bible. I don't get into the personal areas. Another woman knows that I had a difficult relationship with my mother. How was that overcome? Maybe it'll be about that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be about her whole life.
No.
And she may have multiple mentors.
Right. A young woman told me that if we are able to establish a mentoring culture, which means that everybody is in on this, our older women are attentive to the needs of the younger ones. They're paying attention. The younger ones are asking, initiating coffee dates. She said, you know, what I want to do is Google you. I want to look at the community of mentors and then discover which one I can talk to about this, which one I can talk to about that. You know, who's strong in this area, who's strong in parenting, who's strong in marriage, who's strong in work-related issues. I want to Google that and find the woman that I can talk to.
Everybody is creating her own advisory board.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
And that works for them.
Yes.
They feel that freedom and that movement to basically extract what they need from this community of believing women.
So if you're an older woman, you need to step up.
Absolutely.
Can I use that term?
With older women, yeah, I think so.
I think we can.
Yeah.
And if you're a younger woman, you need to find someone you can lean into and get their wisdom and advice, maybe multiple women.
Right. Who's pouring into you and who are you pouring into? Those are the questions we got to be asking. And if you're going to pour into the lives of others, I think it would be helpful for any of us to read through the book that Sue and Barbara have written. It's called Organic Mentoring, A Mentor's Guide to Relationships with Next Generation Women. We've got copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. In fact, I passed this book out to some women at our church, and I said, this is a great book to help you catch a vision for what a mentoring relationship ought to look like, how Titus 2 ought to be lived out. You can order a copy of Organic Mentoring when you go to familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to order. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. Our phone number is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, as we have been traveling some this summer, we wanted to stay connected with what's going on here at Family Life, and both Marianne and I have been grateful for the fact that when we're not in our normal rhythms, we have Family Life Today with us wherever we are, because it's as close as our smartphone or our tablet. You can stream the program online. In fact, this is interesting. There are people all over the world who are tuning in and listening to Family Life Today at all hours of the day, because it's available online. And all of these programs are available as a podcast. You can download any Family Life Today program or series free of charge. Our goal is to effectively develop godly marriages and families, because we believe godly marriages and families can change the world one home at a time. And there are some of you who share that goal. We know that because you help support the work of this ministry to keep this program available in your community and available around the world. And we're grateful for those of you who are legacy partners giving each month, or those of you who will make an occasional donation. In fact, if you're able to help with a donation today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you a copy of Dennis Rainey's latest book, which is called Choosing a Life That Matters. It's about seven strategic decisions, seven key choices you can make that will change the shape of your life. It's a great book for a recent high school or college graduate. It's actually a great book for any of us to read. Families can go through this book together. It's our gift to you when you make a donation today to support this ministry. You can do that online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to do that at 1-800-FL-TODAY, or mail your donation to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. Now, tomorrow we want to talk about where you fit in the mentoring matrix if your life has been a mess. Actually, you may be the best choice to mentor someone younger than you, and we'll talk about why that is tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.